and you'll give serious consideration to your own heart and to your own life while we stand and while we sing. It's a lesson, if you will, I guess you could call it that, or the parable of the prodigal son. And now he picks up with something totally different, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 16. And he said also unto his disciples that there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him, and he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig. To beg, he said, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto them, and said unto the first, How much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world, he said, are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I had started to announce my topic this morning for the evening service. I didn't do that because the topic is imitate the devil. And I thought y'all were pretty good at that already. But no, I'm teasing. But anyway, I thought some people might walk out saying, well, how in the world, where is he going with that? But, a lot of times we say, well, when someone makes a statement like that, that we ought to imitate the devil. There are some things about the devil, his methodology, that are worthy of emulation. And I think Christ says that here in this story. He said that the children of this world are, in their generation, are wiser than the children of light. Now, you might assume if you read that, or you were just casually perusing through that, that Jesus is saying that he's giving some kind of endorsement to wrongdoing or evil, but rather the contrary. Jesus is trying to impress upon his disciples, however, the necessity of using wisdom and a little common sense in dealing with other people. Certainly there are things about the devil that are wrong, but some things about the devil that he did that are okay. Let me give an example of that. Over in the book of Matthew 4, when Jesus was being tempted, what he did was wrong in that he tempted Jesus, and he misconstrued sometimes Scripture throughout the ages. But here in this particular case, he quotes Scripture, and he quoted it right. And you might say, well, you know, that's right, and he did. He did not distort the truth here, but actually is tempting Christ with it, to get him to fall into a snare of his own choosing. And so if the devil quoted Scripture, does that make it wrong for us to quote Scripture? Certainly not. James said that the devils believe in God and they tremble. Does that mean it's wrong for us to believe in God because the devils believe in God? Certainly not. Well, there are several admonitions in the Word of God that teach us to shun the devil and to resist him, but there are three characteristics that I want us to view tonight about Satan, which might be imitated by the children of God. Let me share these with you. First of all, the thought of never giving up. Do you know the devil never gives up on you? Now, the Bible says that even after the temptation of Jesus, that and Christ resisted those temptations, and you know, it was James who said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He did. But the Bible didn't say that Jesus was never ever bothered or tempted by Satan again. It rather says that the devil left him for a while. And that's what the devil does. The devil leaves us for a while. But then he comes again. He approaches us in different ways. Now, the devil knows where you are most vulnerable, and he will tempt you in that area where you are vulnerable. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was tempted again by the devil. He was tempted to give up, but he didn't. And the devil didn't give up either. And since the devil never ever gives up on us, you know, he'll try to hit you one way, and if that doesn't work, he'll hit you with another thing. And the devil left Job only for a short time. And then he confronted him again, time and time again. You think about all the problems that he brought into that man's life. Now, he had asked for the approval of God to do that. He didn't do it on his own. But he had asked God to allow him to be able to afflict Job in ways that he had never, ever encountered before. But when it didn't work, then he tried other things. He tried, first of all, maybe to take away his herds and allow the Chaldeans to come in and destroy and rob and steal and be thieves among his herds. That didn't work. He tried a lot of things. He allowed his children to be taken away, and perhaps the devil thought, well, maybe now he'll just go ahead and curse God and die, and that wasn't enough. And so he comes back, and now he afflicts Job from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. And that didn't work either. And if that didn't work, then the devil starts working on Job's wife. And you know, he's just very cunning. And he uses Job's wife as a tool. Because she comes to Job and she says, Job, you want to get out of your misery? Here it is. Why don't you just curse God and die and you'll get out of it? But it didn't work either. And because Job did never give up, and Job remained faithful unto God, God blessed him in the end. The Bible, however, does say in the book of James chapter 4, verse 7, that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. But Satan is constantly trying to draw us away from God. He is called in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, the great deceiver. And he does. You know, the devil promises a lot of things, but he never, ever delivers. How would you know if the devil is tempting you? Have you ever thought about that? How would you know if maybe a desire that you have is of God or if it is of the devil? Let me tell you how you can know. If that desire is against the will of God, then you can know it is of the devil and it is wrong. And we must be alert to his devices. In the book of Ephesians 6, verse 11 and following, the Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. We are to make sure that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to have the helmet of salvation. We're to carry the sword of the Spirit. We're to carry the shield of faith, that we may be able to handle those fiery darts that are launched at us every day. But we must never, ever give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then in the book of Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing, he says, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. The word faint in the Greek language is the word eklo, and it actually means to lose heart. He says, don't ever lose heart. Sometimes we all get disenchanted about the things that are going on in life, and it is easy for us maybe to want to give up. God says don't do that. So if you want to imitate the devil in that regard by never giving up, go for it. We ought to. Now, let me share with you another thing. The devil is always looking for other people to ensnare. We ought to look for other people to teach. You know, the mission of the church is to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. The Bible says that the devil is our adversary, and he is like that roaring lion who's seeking whomever he may devour. I wish that the church and wish that those of us in the body of Christ were just as eager to bring people to God as the devil is to bring them away from him. You know, we could really change this whole world. We really could. If we worked with vigor and enthusiasm and seize the opportunities as the devil often does. Have you ever noticed that the devil generally approaches you when you are down and when you're disconsolate or when things are not going good in your life, and he approaches you and he says, hey, you know what? You're a Christian, but where's your God now? Why is he allowing all these bad things to happen to you? He doesn't approach you when God is blessing you and you feel close to God, because he knows that you are going to resist him. But he is always working. He is always trying to repudiate, if you will, the Savior's blessing and his doctrine of purity. He is trying to lead us away from himself. That's why Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 says that we're to never give place to the devil. And we aren't. But the devil approaches us in a lot of ways. Sometimes the very tools that he might use to ensnare people are the tools that we can use to bless him. Let me give you an example of that. Sometimes the devil might use newsprint, the printed page, to draw you away from God. People do that all the time. People buy all kind of paperbacks that are filled with sordid information, ungodly things, and the devil uses those sort of things to draw you away from God. But isn't it interesting that we can use that same tool, the printed page, to reach out to bring people to Christ? Through gospel tracts, certainly the Bible is a good example of that. The internet is a good example. Something that often is a tool for evil can be used as a tool for good. Television, radio. We could go on and on and on. And if the devil doesn't get you through lust, he will get you through greed. And if he doesn't get you through greed and sins of the flesh, he will work on your mind. He will try to get you with the sins of the heart, attitude, and draw you away from him. The Bible says that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to enjoy certain things in life that are not against the will of God. Jesus certainly prayed in John 17 that his disciples might not be removed from the world, from all the ungodliness out there, but that they might be a leavening influence, if you will, for that which is good. Well, look at point number 3. The devil, again, never gives up. He's always trying to ensnare people. And then he has a sense of urgency about his work. Have you observed that the devil, he works day and night. He really does. He's 24/7. He's always after it. He's always trying again. And he pleads and he advocates. He demands. He solicits. He does everything in the world in the immediate time that he has to draw you again away from God. And certainly we're admonished to reach souls in the same way. For in the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, two chapters back, the Bible says in verse 23, Jesus said to go out quickly into the highway and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Listen to Jesus in John 9 and verse 4. He said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. As I mentioned this morning, procrastination is probably one of our biggest sins. And I can tell you, the devil works at trying to keep us very comfortable so we won't reach out and try to draw people to God. But we need to understand that there are some things about the devil that we can imitate. His urgency, the fact that he's always working, and that he never ever gives up. You know, sometimes we give up so quickly and so easily in life. I've often thought in my mind, you know, sometimes even in trying to teach other people, and they may turn you off from what you say, sometimes we give up so quickly and we never ever go back to that person. We think, well, we'll never ever teach that person to lead them to Christ. But you know what? We should never ever give up. Just keep trying. Keep working at it. The devil never gives up. Several years ago, and I think I may have told you this story, but there was a woman in this church. Actually, she came here. Matter of fact, she didn't come for a long, long time. Her husband was a very faithful member of the church. And she never darkened the doors of the church. And when I went out and visited with her after they moved to the community, she let me know right up front that she wasn't going to have anything to do at all with that Church of Christ. That was it. I mean, it was almost insulting. It really, really was. I'm not joking. I was ready to say, well, thank you, lady. I won't be back. But I did go back, and I went back again and again and again. And you know what? Before long, that woman warmed up. She did. And one night, after about a 3-hour study, she said, I see it. I see it. And she obeyed the gospel. and became a Christian. And really became one of the greatest workers this church has ever known. She did. I preached her funeral a number of years ago. But I couldn't help but think when I was speaking at her memorial service, that first time that I met her, and I thought was, I didn't say this, but I thought in my heart, what if I had given up? What if I just said, okay, I won't be back? But I didn't give up. I didn't. And because I didn't give up, God didn't give up on her either. And he brought her to himself. And I thank God that there are people in this world tonight that are working aggressively and doing all that is within their power to reach people with the gospel. So it's all right to imitate the devil, but don't live like the devil. And those bad things that he tries to get you to do, stay away from. Shun those things. But he says the children of this world are wiser oftentimes than the children of light. They are. You know, when I read that story and I first read that about how they had reduced the bill for the master and all that, I got to thinking about, boy, he's talking about today's economy, bailout, GM, the housing industry, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, here it is. That's not really what he's talking about, is it? But he's talking about things that are spiritual and things that demand our immediate and sincere attention. So I hope tonight, and I think by and large we're talking to people here tonight that are children of God, I hope that we will exercise ourselves in trying to do the Lord's will. If you're here tonight and you have special needs that you'd like to bring before the Lord's church, or if there is something that we can do to help you as a child of God, maybe you're weak and you need strength, and certainly we're willing to pray for you. If you're not a Christian, then God's plan is very simple. You can obey him out of a loving heart tonight, confessing the name of Jesus to be Savior and Lord, and with a penitent attitude, allow yourself to be baptized into Christ. And we'll be happy to assist you in doing that tonight as we sing this song that Dwayne has selected. Let us stand and let us sing.